And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, excuse me. We are off and running here on this Wednesday, January the 16th, 2018, 18 minutes past the hour. And we have got a great show for you today. Going to do a little bit of housekeeping before we get to our first guest. The Mike Wilson Show, a new public affairs program here on WWGH Radio, will be debuting Monday, January 21st from 5:10 to 6 p.m. And then we'll be on every Monday at that time through eternity. So the Mike Wilson Show, Mondays, 5:10 to 6 p.m. starting January 21st. So tune into that. Tomorrow on this program, the government is still shut down. There's a lot of things going on in the political world. And tomorrow we will have a very well-balanced program. In the 12 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by the father of conservative talk radio. Before there was Rush Limbaugh, before there was Sean Hannity, there was Barry Farber. Barry Farber tomorrow at 12:15. And then at 1 o'clock, we're going to be joined by former Newsweek columnist. She's currently a columnist for The Daily Beast and a panelist on the long-running television series The McLaughlin Group, Eleanor Clift, tomorrow at 1:10. So that's the program tomorrow. Don't miss that. We had Eleanor on last week, and we lost power in the middle of the interview. So we got about 10 minutes in and everything went haywire. Well, tomorrow, hopefully that won't happen again. Lightning won't strike twice. That's the saying, isn't it? Lightning doesn't strike twice. So tomorrow, Eleanor Clift, 1:10 to 2 p.m. following Barry Farber. Now this hour, with Valentine's Day approaching and the holidays over and trying to declutter your house, who better to talk to then one of my favorite people, a person we visit with every third Wednesday of the month from 12:10 to 1 p.m. She is the undisputed queen of helpful hints, Heloise. Heloise, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you? And I'm listening to your weather report. Brrr.
It's a little cold here in the Midwest right now.
Yeah.
Yep, but snow on the ground, a little snow coming this weekend, but, you know, that's the Midwest.
It is, so let's move forward to February.
and Valentine's Day,
yes.
If you walk into the stores, the things are already out.
They're already out, mm-hmm.
So are the Easter eggs, by the way.
Oh, gosh, I know. It's, with Valentine's Day coming, there are ways to celebrate Valentine's Day without having to spend a lot of money. And there are a lot of weddings between Jan and around February and Valentine's Day also. So when you think in terms of that, think in terms of what color, Scott, what color do you think of when you think of Valentine's Day?
Red.
Red. Red or pink. So if you're doing a wedding on a budget, you can do it on a budget. One of my favorite ones, and this is a really good experiment to do with kids, with children, and even adults too, is now buy some either white or yellow daisies. And generally when you get fresh flowers, you want to cut off about an inch or two from the bottom at an angle. Some people say you should do it underwater. Yeah, either way. Get three or four, like mason jars, old glasses, something or other, and fill them with water and add red food coloring to one, blue food coloring to the other, and green. And you put the flowers in there, and you will see, particularly daisies, the flower will pull up the water, and the next day you'll see there's a little blue around the petal.
That's very interesting. Now, cutting them underwater, what is the purpose of that?
The theory is that when you cut the stem that it pulls in air.
So you this know, prevents that.
So if you cut it underwater, it already is pulling up the water to nourish the flower. Now, the important thing is, particularly with daisies and particularly roses, which is what we think of during Valentine's Day, is you only want to strip the leaves that are going to be beneath the water level. They need leaves up near the flower because the leaves are what draws the water up into the stem.
This is kind of like genetics when you add food coloring.
Very good point. I had not thought of it that way. Yeah. And it's what's fun about it is day by day, you'll see the color around the petal get darker and darker.
Now, if I'm going to a wedding, what is a good gift for a Valentine's wedding?
Well, even if you're going to a wedding, it's a Valentine's wedding, the gift that you give should be something that the couple is going to use. So I don't know whether you really want it to be Valentine's related. Now, you can wrap the package in Valentine's wrapping, a big red bow, that kind of thing. But the gift should be something that you comes from the heart, that you hope the couple can use, and that they're going to use for a long time.
You know, I've always thought the Italians had this right, that the Italians at a wedding give money.
Yes. And there are some, where is it? There's a couple states, I think up north, that do the same thing. So if it's the custom there, then it's okay. You put it in a nice envelope, you put it inside a card. Be sure to sign, when you sign the card, don't just say from Fred and Ethel. If they've got 100 or 200 people at the wedding or even 50, it's like, who's Fred and Ethel? So they're not able to write their thank you note. So sign your full name.
You know, this brings up a sore subject with me about wedding cards. Have I told this story before to you, Heloise?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, I'm going to tell you this story because you are the, as I said, undisputed queen of helpful hints. So I want to know if I did something wrong because this is many years later. This is, 15 years ago this
happened.
Well, how do
you get over it?
Well, no, I think the people, I'm over it because yeah. I don't think I did anything wrong. But the people who it happened to, I think, still hold the grudge.
Oh, no.
Yeah, here's what happened. One of my cousins was getting married, and they live in a different part of the state than I do. And my whole family was going down for the wedding, and I could not make it to the wedding. So I went out, and I bought a nice, beautiful, expensive wedding card. And whether I'm doing Christmas cards or birthday cards or wedding cards, just like you said, I don't just sign my name. I always write something in there.
Yes.
Because I think that's something good. So I write a little note in the card, and I sign my name, and I give it to the people who are going to the wedding. And 2 days later, the day of the wedding, I've totally forgotten about it at this point. 2 days later, the wedding happens, and the father of the bride calls me up, and he's going to come strangle me, and he's furious. And I thought it was a joke. I didn't know what he was talking about. And he said, this card. Well, here's what I wrote in the card. Now tell me if this is wrong. Now, remember, I'm a jovial person. I try to be fun. What I wrote in the card was, because I couldn't make it to the wedding, I said, Sorry I couldn't make it to the wedding. I'll try to make it to the next one.
That can be construed two ways.
But I don't, you know, I didn't think the backlash that I'm still getting the cold shoulder 15 years later about it would be this big.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's look at the psychology of it. The father of the bride is nervous, filled with angst. He's got to walk his daughter down the aisle. So he perceived it as, when they get divorced, you'll come to the next one. Which is not what you meant.
No, not at all.
No, not at all.
It was more about me not being able to be there.
Oh, see?
Yeah, because I'm sending this card telling you that I can't be there. Sorry I couldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to make it to the next one.
Well, and you, knowing you, you meant it as in, I'm sorry I can't be there, but he perceived it differently.
Well, I think the bride perceived it differently, because
uh-oh,
my understanding was she read it at the reception and started to cry.
Oh, no.
And that is what prompted the father to make the call. And I didn't have any bad intention. When he called...
Of course you didn't.
No, and when he called, I didn't even know... I the card was the last thing on my mind. So, that they still are carrying this around over 15 years later, when I run into them, I mean, they don't say it, but there's always a little bit of,
that cold shoulder.
Oh, yeah, the chill is in the air.
Well, I'm not, you know, Anne or Epi or Miss Etiquette, but have you ever had a chance to explain to them?
Well, I don't think they believed it, because I remember him saying, you know, this, yeah, I'm going to wring your neck and blah, 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 blah. And it took me a minute to even know what he was so angry about. And when he said this card, I said, I think you've misconstrued this. And it never got any better, because he saw it. See, I think you have to look to intent, because, you know, I watch the ID channel. And if I was really out to get them, why would I buy a nice card? Why would I send other people down with it?
Right.
It didn't make any sense.
Yep. You know, the one thing to keep in mind, too, is that most, and I still have mine, and I've been married, almost 40 years. People keep these cards. All right? I can pull out the box with the wedding cards we got. People keep these cards, and they may pull them out once a year on their anniversary. Maybe they've got children, and then they share them with their kids, and then their children have children, and they've got grandchildren. So someone in a third looking at it who doesn't know the story may not see the humor in it, or they find it humorous or something. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Well, you know, like I say, when I tell that story, it sounds like I'm harboring it, and I'm really not, because I don't really see these people all that often. But it fascinates me that they have no sense of humor about it, even more than 15 years later.
You know what? You'll never change them.
No, I think they're nuts. What this what this has taught me is see, at the time, I said, well, maybe I shouldn't have done it. But now that it has carried on for 15 years, I've become more entrenched that I did the right thing, and they just have no sense of humor.
This is reminding me of the Hatfields and the McCoys. You know, the ongoing feud between the two families. All you can do is smile when you see them. Maybe remember the anniversary and send them something. Some beautiful flowers, a flower arrangement.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, when I see them, we don't talk about it. It's never been, I don't think it's been brought up since, but I know that was the definitive moment of when that relationship went bad. But I'm nice to them. I don't have any, I can be in the room with them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't cold shoulder them, but there is definitely a little cold
chill
shoulder
in the air.
Yeah, but I, like I said, now when I see them, I saw them right before the holidays, and I was with them for about 2 hours, and I could feel the chill, and basically I thought, these people are just a disaster, they have no sense of humor, and they're probably going to die early from stress about this card, 15 years ago, but I don't know. I brought it up on a show here on the station, mm-hmm. and people told me I was wrong, but I still contend that I am right.
They told you were wrong for saying a writing on the card?
Yeah, we brought it up on our panel show on Friday, because it was right after I had seen them again, so it was on my mind. And I told them the situation, and they said, oh, you can't send that to a bride, especially the younger girl who's on the panel on Friday. She said, oh, good Lord, you can't do that, and, that I was bad for doing this, but I just don't feel that way.
I give you compensation. this compensation, there are different customs in different parts of the country. And so what I always say, too, is that if you're going to a wedding or an anniversary party and it's not where you live and you know the customs, do a little research to find out. Because you don't ever want to intentionally offend someone. But if you don't know quite the local customs, there's a chance you may, totally unintentionally.
Right, and this leads me to Valentine's Day, because I read an article that said there are more proposals on Valentine's Day and Valentine's Day weekend than all year round.
Probably so.
So that being said, you want this to be a big date. If you're listening to this show right now and you're getting ready to propose in about 30 days, how should that dinner go? What should you bring to that? How should that go? We need help, Heloise, in this department.
Well, one, you know the person you're going to propose to. You should know what they like, but also what they're comfortable with. Some people go to a really fancy restaurant and tell the maitre d' or the owner ahead of time, and they suddenly bring out, a cake or something or other. And if the person you're proposing to is comfortable in public, doesn't mind that, is happy to share, but there's some people who are very private. So it's like, think this through first, because generally you don't get a do-over.
Well, I think the problem with proposing in public is usually it's the man who does the proposing, not that the woman can't.
Right.
But when she sees that ring come out, there's usually a lot of crying and screeching. And in public, it's an involuntary thing you're doing. And I think in the moment you're okay with it because you're happy. But then, you're kind of embarrassed and you have to finish the meal at the table.
No, generally, if you're going to propose, you do it when dessert is served.
Oh, so you do it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is interesting because there's an article on the internet right now making the way around that White Castle is now taking reservations for Valentine's Day. Is that a good idea?
Well, if someone's going to propose, it depends. I mean, if someone's going to propose, maybe their first date was at White Castle. Now, it could be that the whole family wants to go there, and trust me, restaurants, fast food restaurants, those kind of things, you know, they're booked ahead of time. So it depends on the situation.
It is interesting because Valentine's Day has become a gift holiday. Now, if you're on a budget, what is a good gift that you can maybe come up with? You know, they always say homemade gifts are better than store-bought.
Yes, if you're a good home cook or chef and you bake. But I always go by, there are what I call generic gifts. In fact, I have a closet, don't tell anybody, but gee, I've just done this on the air, with what I call generic gifts that can go for a man, a woman, a couple. And these include, say, really nice coffee mugs. You can fill them with individual chocolates that are wrapped. Put a peppermint in it. Wrap it nicely. That's a generic gift that you're always safe with.
That's a good middle-of-the-road idea.
Yes.
Now, if you are a parent helping a child prepare for Valentine's Day, what is the rule on this? Do you give a Valentine's card to everybody in the class? Do you give candy anymore because some kids can't have candy? What's the best rule of thumb if you're a mother or father?
First, I would check with the school about candy. Some schools say it's okay. Others say not. Some say, you know, again, it has to be individually wrapped. So I would check the school on that part, but as far as giving, you should give a card to everyone in the class. And you can go to the dollar store, Walmart, Target, and they've got boxes of generic cards that are very inexpensive. Because how would you feel, or your child feel, if everybody else is getting cards and they're not getting one?
Well, that would be difficult, but, you know, what I was always wondering about that was, you know, there's usually 25 to 30 kids in a classroom. Now, does everybody go home and count their cards?
They may. I mean, they may. And, you know, unless you know you don't really know the personality of the child. Sometimes in a classroom, there's one or two, and I did student teaching. I have a teacher certificate, by the way, mathematics and business. And I did student teaching, and the teacher I was under had been at the school in New Braunfels, Texas. Not rural now, but kind of a farm community and that. And she's the one who taught me. She said, you'll read the personality of these students within a week or so. The ones that sit in the back are either shy or they don't want to be called on. The ones that sit in the front, me, 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 me. And so when I was doing my student teaching, after about a week, I went to her when we had the break, we were in the teacher's lounge having coffee. I said, you know what? you're right. I never would have recognized that unless you had mentioned it. There was always one or two kids in the back, relatively shy, or they didn't want to be called on. And then the kids in the front, you know, are gregarious in that kind of thing. So you need to read the tea leaves, as I say.
Well, that's interesting. That brings me to another point, because people get brave on Valentine's Day. Co-workers or friends who you maybe want to be more than friends with, they will spring something on them on Valentine's Day, like a Valentine's card or something homemade or chocolate flowers, whatever. But they leave themselves an out if the person is uncomfortable, because then they can say, oh, I'm just doing it because it's Valentine's Day.
Good point. I think a very valid point.
And I remember Valentine's Days used to be tied in with doilies.
Oh, gosh, yes.
What happened to that?
You know what? Because I used to do a lot of home baking. And, you know, I'm a Texas gal. My grandmother, Florence McCullough Cruz, from Rosebud, Texas. And my other grandmother, Amelia, from Fort Worth. They always use doilies. And I really, unless it makes the cake or the brownies or whatever it is look a little more festive, I don't know. Scott, you're stumping me on a couple of these.
Well, this is good, because I think people are nervous about Valentine's Day, because it's a strange day in that it's really one of the few times that the whole day revolves around emotion.
True. And what my mother used to do, and I wanted to bring this up about Valentine's Day, would make red or pink pancakes. A couple drops of red food coloring in the batter. And she'd freehand sort of a heart. Now, see, I still remember that. And my milk, she'd put a few drops of red food coloring in the milk. Now, that, I remember that distinctively. I can see it. So that was, in my estimation as a child, too, it was like, oh, my mom really loves me a little bit more.
It's an important day.
It can be for a lot of people. But do remember, too, if you have relatives or a neighbor, excuse me, who is living alone, who may be elderly, it may not be the happiest day for them. So don't forget. Don't leave them out. Now, let me bring up one thing on that point, too, is you either hand-deliver the card or you slip it under the door. It technically, by U.S. Postal standards, it's illegal for an individual to put an unstamped card in a mailbox.
That's interesting.
Yes. I mean, I don't think the police are going to show up. You know, the Postal Service is not going to show up. But just sort of keep that in mind.
Now, is Valentine's Day a good time to throw a party for your friends?
I think it's wonderful. I always try. My husband and I, David, used to entertain a lot. And I would pick off times. Not Christmas, not Thanksgiving, not New Year's, because there are a million parties going on. So I would pick St. Patrick's Day. Or Valentine's Day. St. Patrick's Day was wonderful. Everything green. And so I think Valentine's Day is a lovely time to throw a party. And it doesn't have to be a humongous party. It can be coffee, tea, cake, dessert, as simple as that. It's just, it's a gathering, and that's the most important thing. People don't come to, you know, to drink your coffee and tea. So I think it's a lovely idea. It might be, and if you've moved into a new neighborhood or a new apartment complex, it might be a perfect time to have a little open house on Valentine's Day and invite your neighbors over. Because, you know, in today's society, we tend not to be as chummy as we used to be. So I think it would be a lovely time to have coffee, tea, cakes, invite your neighbors over. Call it an open house. Give them a set time. If they choose not to come, that's okay. But you might be pleasantly surprised.
Now, if I am having an open house or I'm having a party, what is a good Valentine's Day dessert to serve?
Well, since you asked, the Heloise red velvet cake recipe. And basically, it's chocolate cake, or some people use white cake. And you use pretty much like a whole bottle of red food coloring. And it's festive. It's got the colors of Valentine's Day. But you always want to serve, and then cookies, some sort of cookies, and you can put red food coloring in the cookie dough. It is, and you always want to serve, regardless of the event, something, an alternative. You don't know the people who, your guests, they may be a diabetic, they may be on a restricted diet or something or other. So you always want to have, and I would always have, a healthy alternative. Maybe a fresh fruit salad, which is fabulous. You know, fresh apples, little, if you can pineapple is okay, but a little bit of an alternative, so there's something, and there, people may be on a diet. So a healthy alternative that they can eat. And that way they're still participating.
Now, let's say you've been married a long time. What is something you can do that would pleasantly surprise your mate on Valentine's Day?
I'll tell you. Okay, if you've been married a long time, or you've been partners for a long time, what I used to do for my husband occasionally is, and the kids can do this too, is you make up gift certificates. Okay, and this certificate is good for, one, I'll do the dishes on Thursday. something that the other partner normally, typically, and you fall into a routine after you've been married a long time, you know. Maybe you clean up the kitchen together. Maybe she cleans up the kitchen, he cleans up the kitchen, or one of them does all the cooking. Something that's like a little surprise.
Now, a big part of Valentine's Day that I have seen evolve in the last few years is alcohol, wine. Is that something that you would bring to a Valentine's party, or is it, if you're trying to propose to somebody, is it good to go to a place that has alcohol?
I don't know how to answer that. Now, if you're coming to someone's home as a guest, you know, it's called a hostess gift. Many times you may bring a bottle of alcohol, maybe apple cider or something. They do not have to open it then, because they may say, oh, thank you so much, I'm going to save this. So whether you and your whoever you're proposing to maybe it's okay, maybe it's not.
Is this a holiday that people should have a lot of stress over? Because they seem to.
I don't know why, except for the fact, if you back it up, we're coming off of Thanksgiving in November, Christmas in December, New Year's in January. So, to me, the February part of it is, I don't think you should be stressed. If you, and a lot of people have, you know, huge families, and they've all been there at Thanksgiving, or they all come for Christmas, or Hanukkah, you know, or something of New Year's, is I don't think you should stress over it. And my mother, the original Heloise, always said to me and to her readers, you know, I took over when she died in 77, but she did this in our household, is if you're having people over, and I loved what she said, look, they're only going to see two or three rooms and the guest bath or the bathroom they're going to use. Focus on those. You know, and she always said, look at the room from the surface. Maybe you run the vacuum real quickly. If there's an inch of dust on the end table, yeah, we've got to get rid of that. So I don't think you should stress over Valentine's Day. And know your limitations. Know what you can do, what you're comfortable with, and don't stress over it. And this is the one I always, again, learned from her, was do you really think in 20 or 30 years someone's going to remember that the pot roast was burnt or a little crispy or something rather? No, they're going to remember you're making memories.
That's true. So you have to have an uplifting personality at these gatherings.
Not necessarily. There are some people who are either shy, very quiet, or they're really good listeners. You say, welcome to my home, or our home. Now, one thing I've always done, too, is I do my best to greet people at the front door. And when they're leaving, you know, let me walk you out. Very simple to do, doesn't cost anything, leaves a really good impression. Because, as the royal family in England says, people remember the entrance and the exit.
Oh, that's good. Is that something the Queen says?
You know, I don't know whether it's the Queen or when I was reading, what was I reading? I think it was when Charles and Diana were getting divorced, and they're going through training her. And it's, think about it, you're in a room, and the guest speaker, the celebrity, comes in. You remember the entrance, and then when they leave, you remember the exit.
That's true. You want to have a good ending and a good beginning.
Correct.
Now, the Queen does not strike me as somebody who would be big into Valentine's Day.
I have no idea.
I mean, I like the Queen. I think she's a very refined and elegant woman. But I just don't see her being a Valentine's Day person.
I have no idea. Do they celebrate Valentine's Day in England?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question.
Or Great Britain.
Great
yeah,
Britain.
I don't know.
She just doesn't smile a lot.
Well, maybe her shoes are too tight.
They could be.
Let me bring something up about that. Is if you're planning on getting married during this time frame, and most people and brides will buy a new pair of shoes. Don't wait till the day of the wedding to put them on and find they're a little too tight. Is you walk around the house, you put them on, you walk around the house, wear them for a couple days, and this is not the time to break in shoes, because a lot of times the bride particularly will wear the wedding dress at the ceremony and then to the reception. There may be dancing. You don't want your feet hurting.
This brings up an interesting point that I know a lot of women have when it comes to weddings. They want their shoes to match the dress, but they can't find the shoe in that particular color. So what do you do in that situation?
What you can do, depending on the shoe and depending on what it's made of, is find the one first, and you take it to a shoemaker, the shoe repair store, and they can usually dye it to match the dress. But if you can't do that, you're always safe with a neutral or nude or beige shoe. Because depending on your dress, if it's short or long, if it's neutral or beige, it doesn't really show. And the same thing for the mother of the bride and the mother of the groom and all of that. It's neutral. You're always safe with a neutral shoe.
Now, is planning key for all of these events that we have talked about? Do you have to have a plan, or is planning setting yourself up to fail?
What? You're talking to the daughter of an Air Force pilot. No, you need you must plan. You need to, and the old-fashioned way is the legal pad, and I saved mine. You know, page one, guest list. Page two, reception. Page three, flowers, what to do. Page four, groomsmen, bridesmaids. Because the closer you get, your brain gets a little foggy, and there's so many things going on. So, put it on your iPad, put it on your cell phone. Just, I think, and be prepared. If things aren't perfect, it's okay.
Well, that's in the nature of what I was talking about, because as we said earlier, Valentine's Day, I believe, is the day the most proposals happen. And I think sometimes people really plan this stuff out, and then that day or in the moment, something goes wrong that you can't fix.
Right.
And it's like a domino effect, and everything else is ruined.
When those kind of things happen, and it's happened to my husband and me several times, and it's like I'm panicked for about 30 seconds, and then I'm like, David, we're going to laugh at this in 10 years. Now, we're not talking catastrophic, like somebody has a heart attack or a stroke or something rather like that, but, well, I'll tell you one thing. For our wedding and our first reception, first anniversary, my husband, who's a good old Texas boy, wanted his cake in the shape of an armadillo. I'm not kidding.
Hmm.
Well, the groom's cake was in the shape of an armadillo. And we had several guests, quite a few, from New York, and some flew in from L.A. I could hear them. And we had a videographer, and later, David and I are looking at the video, and you can hear off camera, well, I just can't believe that the groom's cake is in the shape of an armadillo. Well, now, I knew the voice.
Oh,
yes, I knew the voice. And I just started laughing. Because they were from the East, and those are entirely different. Again, customs. But the most important thing to remember, too, this is your wedding.
Now, was your mother still around when you got married?
No, she was not.
Oh, I just wonder what she would have thought of an armadillo.
Oh, my gosh.
The original Heloise.
Yeah, the original Heloise. No, she was not. She died in 77. We got married in 81. So she was not. So it was a little... The reception was at the original Fuddruckers, the hamburger place.
Oh.
Because I knew the owner, Phil Romano. And I didn't want to go to the fancy ballroom at the first class hotel. And I wanted us to have fun, too. And so I knew Phil, and I said, Phil, you know, can I have my wedding reception here? He's like, okay. Well, now, here's really what's really funny. And we probably had 250, 300 people. And a lot of people didn't come, you know, to the reception afterwards. And I said to my husband, who at that time was a plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and a contractor, and I said, David, okay, I'm turning all of the restrooms, because they're only two and two, two men's and two women's, inside, into women's rooms, because ladies go to the bathroom more often than men do, generally. So I had him order and rent three brand new porta potties. But I put flowers in there, and I did one or two other things. Oh, I scented it. So I had the signs that said men's room. Now, this is funny. It's funny now. Men's room. And I had a friend who did beautiful calligraphy. And so there were signs that said men's room, and there's an arrow. Men's room, and there's an arrow, you know. And one of my friends from New York said, he walked out to the parking lot, and he'd never seen a porta potty. And he said, why? I didn't know whether I was supposed to, what, you know. And I said, Joe? And he said, no, I finally figured it out when I saw a man come out of the blue door. Now, we laugh about that now, but that was the right thing to do at the right time, because you don't want a line of 10 women, and let me tell you, you know, women take longer, they primp a little bit, they put their lipstick on. Oh, and that brings me to another point about the actual wedding, is wherever the bride and generally bridesmaids are changing, dressing, primping, etc., have an amenities basket, and it can have, you know, handy wipes, extra lipstick, feminine products, a sewing kit. Just you never know. There's always a last minute.
Well, that's true, and just like those porta potties, when you've had a little too much armadillo cake, you've got to have those around. This is all fascinating and in the spirit of love, and it's always a pleasure visiting with you, Heloise. And next time we do, we'll be headed into St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, we can do that.
Oh, and we've still got to talk about decluttering and items on sale this time of year. Hopefully it'll still be this time of year next time we talk.
Yes, but remember, after the time to buy, after Valentine's Day, when everything goes on sale, you stock up.
That's when I buy my wedding cards.
Oh, very good.
Yes, that's a good time to do it.
That's a good time to do it. And if you buy chocolates, put them in a zip bag, a freezer-safe zip bag. Put them in another one. You can put them in the freezer.
Oh, they'll keep for a year?
Pretty much.
Oh, good.
But for those of us who like chocolate, you can pull out one or two or three pieces, put them on a paper plate or a napkin, let them thaw, and you've got a little bit of chocolate without having that big red box.
Hmm. Very interesting, very helpful. Happy Valentine's Day, Heloise.
Well, happy Valentine's Day to you.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Heloise, always a lot of fun. We're coming back with trivia right after this.
Telephone number 937- 6426 9.
We here at WW